Back on the Morning Wake Up. Great to have you aboard, everybody. Of course, online, live streaming 1320wils.com. The podcasts are there. And the Law School of the Airwaves, taken in 5, 6, 7 minute chunks. I wonder if real law school, I don't think it works that way in the lecture halls and, you know, all the stuff from the paper chase, the Socratic method. But you get it here in little bits and pieces and you put it all together and it adds up to something. And the person who brings it to us weekly with Legalese is Fox News legal analyst Lise Wheel, who's back after her well-deserved time off. Good morning, Lise.
Good morning. Oh, yeah, law school, man. That was horrible.
Wouldn't you have loved to have a lecture that went about 7 or 8 minutes? You just...
Absolutely. No, I never did. I mean, I actually went to Harvard. It was a paper chase thing.
It was,
and,
that's right.
7 or 8 minutes. No, man. Those guys droned on for hours.
Was there ever
hours.
Somebody there like Professor Kingsfield? Did you have anybody like that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it was, you know, the first year was the scariest year of my life, I think.
Yeah. They literally made a movie about that. And, it was a pretty famous thing, I think, with John Halsey. Well, our first topic here, we go right to the top as we see the spinoff from the Supreme Court. A Montana man, kind of inspired by the same-sex marriage ruling, he would now like to get married, not to another man, but to two women.
That's right. He's been married to Victoria, and now he wants to marry Christine. They did kind of a religious ceremony to marry Christine, but they're not legally married.
Right.
So he wants to bring Victoria and Christine to marry all you know, both of them. And he's really relying on the Supreme Court decision, which is, you know, anybody can really marry anybody is what he's saying. The Montana has not decided what to do. They're going to give him a written decision in a couple weeks. But what I think they're probably going to say is, look, marriage is still defined as between one person and another person of any race, of any creed, of any sexual orientation, but one-on-one, not one plus two. And that's how we're going to keep it from the slippery slope. But it's definitely an argument to be made, they can say.
Yeah, nope. Lise, isn't that weren't they throwing a dart at the board, though, with that? I mean,
absolutely.
I think, as Robert said, where do you come up with the number two? And what's to stop that? If you're really going on tradition, you would not rule this way. But if you do rule this way, aren't you opening up to another number being substituted?
Yeah, that's what Robert said. But I think the argument against that is a legal one, which is this, there's so many tax implications, for example, mm-hmm. right? You could only, between two people, that's one thing. But then if you get three, four, or five, you know, the tax implications, the inheritance implications, you could make it just a very legalistic argument saying it is just completely impractical to have more than two people enter into a marriage at one time.
Mm. In the state of Oregon now, this relates to it's similar here in terms of talking about the rights of a bakery owner. They're Christians. They refuse to bake a cake for a lesbian wedding. Well, there was one aspect there. They were told, you're an heir of the law. You have to pay damages. And then the Oregon Bureau of Labor and Industry out of the city of Salem, they said, you're not allowed to talk about this now.
Yeah.
A gag order. How can that be?
I don't think it should be. The first part I get, because there is a law in Oregon, it's a public accommodation law, and it says that, you know, any person, regardless of their sexual orientation, should be treated the same. So, yes, the bakers violated that law. I think $135,000 in damages is a lot for a cake that they didn't get, but whatever, that probably be brought down. But the second thing, exactly, the gag order, that is punishing what you say as opposed to what you do. I mean, if I say I'm gonna fly to Lansing, Michigan, and beat you up with a hammer, well, that's one thing. I can say that. It's a horrible thing to say, and I wouldn't do it, of course, but say it. If I get on the plane and first go to the hardware store and buy the hammer, and mm-hmm. I get my one-way ticket to Michigan, then you got something on me. I mean, then I've acted on it, but just talking. So I really have a problem with them saying they can't talk about it, even. I mean,
whoever stopped somebody who was a losing end on a case from saying, I think I got jobbed on that ruling? I mean, I could see a judge issuing gag orders.
Right.
And is that what, but a bureau? And isn't that a stretch?
They've got to back off of that, because it is really, you know, it's a abridgment of your right to free speech. Again, if they're at that bakery, right, and these people mm-hmm. come in, gay, lesbian people come in, and they say something,
mm-hmm.
I still think that's okay, as long as they still bake the cake. They can say, oh, I really don't believe in, you know, gay and lesbian marriage, but okay, I'll take your order. That's fine.
Mm. But again, the First Amendment side of this seems, there's two aspects of that. The religious side, you just said, they covered, and they don't prevail, but on the other, they might.
I think they will. I think it goes too far.
Speech.
Look, what the Bureau is trying to do is make sure this doesn't happen again.
Yeah.
And they want to kind of squelch it, but they're doing the opposite because we're talking about it. And it's not right. I may disagree with what the bakers did. I would have baked the cake for them, but that's just me. I mean, so, but they have a right to say whatever they want to say.
Well, you want to make sure it doesn't happen again. I think they already covered that with the $135,000 fine.
$135,000. Yeah, bakers are out of business.
Yeah, that'll make a lot of small businesses perk up there, and then people possibly who want to defend them as well. All right, topic three.
Right.
In North Carolina, a church there sparking serious debate with the decision to fly a Christian flag above Old Glory. What got this going?
Yeah, a couple of pastors said, you know, look, it's God before country. God comes first, ahead of nations, so that means that the stars and stripes should be accorded the second place behind the Christian flag. The problem is U.S. Code Section 7, Title 4, says the flag of the U.S. should be at the center and at the highest point of the group when a number of flags are being grouped together. So what they're doing is completely illegal. They can't do it.
Is there any and how would that be penalized? How would that be processed?
You know, no one's brought a claim or brought an action against this. But I'm just telling them now. I mean, I hope you guys are North Carolina. You're listening.
Yeah, listen
because
up.
If somebody you know comes out ACLU or whatever, you're going to lose this. So, I get what they're trying to do. Yes. Christ before God before country and all of that, but when we're talking about the flag, you can burn it, you can stomp on it, but when you fly it, it's got to be flown first.
I can see them though. I can see the soundbite coming. You know, we have one nation under God, and
right.
So there's the nation under God on top of the steeple, and then okay, we're going to court.
Court over this, and you're going to lose unless the law changes.
Lee Sewell is the Fox News legal analyst who joins us weekly, author of Lethal Beauty, Doing Well, Amazon.com, the place
it is.
To get that.
Thank you so much.
Great to have you on board, and welcome back from vacation.
Thanks.
We'll talk to you next
Take
week,
care.
Lisa.
Okay.
More coming up here. Morning Wake Up. Don't go away. 1320 WILS.